Welcome to Truth Quest with Melody on KHEN LP 106.9 Salida. And this evening, I have a special guest back, is Tony Pantoloresco. And he's just a guy that knows some stuff. But before I get into that, I want to say the views expressed on this program are those of myself and are my guests, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the KHEN staff, volunteers, or board of directors. And I also want to mention that we're streamed on the internet at khen.org, and all TruthQuest programs are archived at www.gimmesometruth.info. And I'm going to go ahead and bring Tony on, and if he wants to elaborate on knowing some stuff, I'll let him go from there. Hi, Tony. Are you there? Did I lose you?
I can hear you in and out. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine. I hope we don't.
Hello?
You're not hearing
me?
Hello? Huh. Let me try to mess with the tools here on this thing here and see if the audio settings got messed up. Okay. Tony, can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay.
I'm shutting down some of my platforms, too. Maybe it's on my end. The bandwidth might be exhausted here. So
that's a possibility.
Yeah, so you're sounding better now, so I think that might have been it. I'm just, like I said, shutting down a whole bunch of stuff. Can't shut down Skype because that'll shut us off.
So, okay. And so, Tony, do you want to go ahead and elaborate a little bit more on your, you know, your website?
Hello?
And your program? And
Lolo,
you're still not hearing me, huh? Dear.
Okay, you're coming back.
Okay.
Are you there?
Yeah, if this keeps carrying, you know, happening, we'll do. Oh, this thing keeps wanting to automatically shut the microphone way down. So let's see if that. Now, how's that again?
Okay, that sounds better. You're coming clear. Like I said, I shut about four platforms down here, so that could be it too. But I can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
So, okay, good.
So, let's see if that helps any, too. Okay, so I will let you go ahead and get started on your website and what you do and your program, and see if that suffices. You're hearing me okay?
Yep.
Okay.
Not a worry. Okay, I'm just a guy who knows some stuff. That's my fame to shame or shame to fame, whatever. I do have a webpage at http://augmentinforce.50webs.com. There I do, I've got all kinds of general information and data on health and remedies. Still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Anyway, the webpage is there for anybody to access. It's a free page. Go there, download whatever you like. Any information that you use in that page is solely your responsibility. I would encourage you to use that as a reference point and study. And evaluate accordingly.
What's kind of nice on your web, well, and then explain a little bit about your YouTube videos that you have along with your website and your radio program.
Oh, okay. We do have YouTubes. Dave and myself have filmed a bunch of YouTubes, and what we've done is we've demonstrated so that the common person, anybody who has never ever picked up a book or done anything, and as far as health goes, we show you how to make your own remedies, and I try to the best of my ability to explain why you're doing it a certain way. It's not the only way, and I always elaborate on that. It's not the only way. It's one way to get you started. It's just sort of a little bit of a door or a peek to get involved. Like I said, we've got 76 videos there. We also have, on John Below, I've also got favorites there, which I find that are other related videos that I think are really good. So I show's called The Remedy. And what I try to do is I try to expose some of the things that are going on. I also try to present remedies in the script. If you go on the webpage again, there's a thing called the script of the show that's been going. I've got them since 2009 of November. So there's usually a remedy or something there that is for, it can be for anybody. I, like I say, encourage you to go to that page and download whatever you like. Hello?
You didn't lose me. We were trying to make an adjustment. Sometimes it.
I'm hearing that space stuff in the background. I'm thinking, okay, does she get teleported by an alien? Does she get abducted by an alien? You know, did she get raptured? You know, Jesus was supposed to come back on the 21st, and somehow that was a trial run. And I found that so amusing that someone would actually come right out and state that. And I thought, what a crock nonsense.
Well, thanks, Karen, for helping me on that. I'm usually here by myself, but every once in a while I enlist the aid of somebody on the sound engineering. But so anyways, I wanted to kind of get in to some of your knowledge and background on some of the remedies, on some of the radiation aspects that we're dealing with these days. And I wanted to kind of relate a little bit on something that I was hearing about last night on a person, you know, since we've had this going on with Fukushima, a lot of people have been getting Geiger counters. And so I think people are going out there testing things that they probably would have never tested otherwise, and they're finding out that there's radiation in a lot of out in our lives, a whole lot more than we ever figured there was. And this person was relating to the fact that they'd taken an isotope for a test, and that test revealed that they still had a lot more radiation going on in their body than they would have ever figured would have still been residual. Are you familiar with any of that, Tony?
I've been hearing stuff like that because in Canada, like I explained, I said on some of the even the YouTubes, our government decided to have an election at the most inopportune time. It was a sensationalized element there to distract people from what was really going on. And then they had the gall to shut off our monitors here in Canada. So there have been people over here from Newfoundland right across who've been doing the same thing. And they were finding that the levels of radiation were off the chart. Now, I'm not completely convinced it's all coming from Fukushima.
I'm not either.
You know, I think it's also who's coming from the Soviet Union. People have forgotten that last year it didn't make the sensational newspaper that Fukushima did, because the Russians were burning nuclear waste, nuclear stockpiles along the Ukrainian border. People forgot about that. And that would have taken, and they did that for 2 weeks. So that's one other additive to that equation. And you got to remember, the chemtrails that we're being dumped on, one of the components, a couple of the components of chemtrails are uranium and thorium.
Well, I haven't heard that.
Okay, so again, I'm not entirely convinced. Like I said, when that thing blew within the first 1,000-mile radius, maybe that might have been a case as a result of radiation leakage. But after that, I'm not convinced, and I'm still not convinced that everything that we're seeing or being told across the network is accurate to a T either. We can do things to protect us from radiation. We can protect our gardens. We can protect our plants. We can protect our animals. Start using baking soda, okay? Drink baking soda. Take a quarter teaspoon, mix it with some potassium and magnesium, and drink it. What it does is it pulls radiation out of the body, and as you excrete the radiation through the kidneys, it protects the kidneys from any radiation. You need to take a bath in borax, about a quarter cup of borax, in the mutantine borax. It has boron in it, and boron also neutralizes radiation. You can also, again, add baking soda and magnesium sulfate or Epsom salt to your bath water. And if you want to add a little iodine to it, do so. It, too, will pull it out of your system. You want to start eating things that have high levels of sulfur to, again, protect your DNA and your genetic code. You got to remember, there's all kinds of things we can do. Sulfur is one of those things. You need good doses of vitamin C, vitamin E, and selenium as well. Eating anything from the ocean, sea vegetable-wise, may not be a bad idea. I've got on my webpage, if you go on there, I've got an anti-radiation link on the main page, and radiation protocols 1 and 2. I did a show on that whole theme. When it first came out, I think that month my hits were almost over 1,000 for the month. I've been encouraging people to go there, download this information, print it off, keep it around, and start utilizing a lot of these things. You may want to use even clays like Dimatius Earth and some other clays that also draws radiation through to it to pulls it out of the colon. You may want to start washing your vegetables and produce in either a vinegar and iodine solution if you're concerned. You may want to use a clay as well. You may want to even soak them in borax or baking soda, again, to extract the radiation from these things and then clean them afterwards, rinse them properly. So we have options, and we have a lot of options, okay? But what we have to be aware of is when we hear these reports, you know, one thing is for certain. We are exposed to radiation. Exactly how much, that's another story. Where it's coming from, that too is another story. Like I said, I'm not completely convinced it's all coming from Japan. And I think everybody's been looking at Japan and getting distracted with Japan and not looking above them. Well, today, our skies were marked with all kinds of chemtrails. And I kept thinking to myself, I wonder how much radiation they're dumping on me today.
Well, you know, they pretty much make you confused on the way they measure it and what is acceptable and what isn't acceptable. But other than the fact that it's just when you start trying to look at the big broader picture and you see other aspects of where we're being exposed to things that normally in the past we would have figured that they had better oversight, and it doesn't seem to be that is it at all. And one of the things I was listening to another program talking about how some of the fluoride is radiated because it comes out of a process is a byproduct of uranium.
Yeah, but the coal, a lot of the coal stacks, I mean, it is a radioactive. I mean, there's a lot of byproducts out there that we are exposed to that have been radioactive. This is what cracks me up. You know, when we start talking levels of radiation that we can be exposed to, I am not sure how in the blazes they come up with this. It's sort of like when you buy fish oils, you know, and they tell you that the fish oils are mercury-free. In reality, there's no such thing as a mercury-free fish oil. What it is it's at such a low level that they consider it free of it. But in reality, it's still there. And what happens is when you keep using these products, this mercury will start to accumulate in your body. Well, the same with radiation. There's no such thing as a safe level of radiation. You know, what is it? I forget how it's worded. One rad or one rem burns something like 20,000 cells at a certain time ratio when you're exposed to this stuff. And the way it works is if you don't pull it out, it keeps on breaking you down on a cellular level. So, again, I'm not sure how they come up with a safe margin of radiation. I mean, when you go to a dentist office and they're firing an x-ray, where are these people standing? They're standing behind a lead-lined booth. Okay, and you are wearing this little 50-pound chest vest or whatever to protect you from the exposure, supposedly protect you from the exposure.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it's burning your thyroid all to pieces when they fire this bloody thing.
Actually, I used to wonder about that myself because I took that in school as dental assisting, and you know, we were told they were better levels, but, you know, I wasn't really shown and proved it. So now I really wonder. So,
well, you know what? Keep wondering. Yeah. Keep,
well, I'm not doing it now. So
keep questioning it. Honestly, you should keep questioning this because, you know, like I said, the whole smoke screen about Japan, obviously they were hit. They've been hit with HAARP. If anybody can't see that, then, you know, they need to take their head out of the sand. You know, they've been HAARPing the planet left, right, and center. The tornado's going through the United States. There was a tornado going through Pennsylvania yesterday, I think it was. You know, they don't have those kind of activity in that part of the country. When you look at some of these other countries like China, New Zealand, Australia, Hawaii, Indonesia, Jamaica, Louisiana, how many times did they get hit with HAARP? I mean, this is what's happening. It's almost like they are having a war games with this.
Well, you know, even if they weren't having had anything to do with these so-called, you know, the tornadoes or anything, if you look up in the sky and you, I mean, I've started photographing some of the lines that are created by the scalar energy, and when you start paying attention, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
And you get to start seeing patterns taking place. And then I was just going on a website yesterday and listening to a YouTube video that Dr. Nick Begich did. And he was calling, you know, pointing out all the aspects of what the potential for this type of antenna array can do. I'm sorry, but, you know, I don't know how else to explain it, but other than, you know, don't take my word for it. Start looking it up. HAARP.
Well, listen, you know what? This technology scares me more than anything I've ever seen on the planet. Nuclear weaponry is a joke by comparison. What is alarming to me is if you're firing a million megawatts of microwave energy into the ionosphere, how badly is that fragmenting that or fracturing that? And then we're bouncing that all across the ionosphere, targeting certain areas of the planet, hitting tectonic plates, shifting the Earth. You know, again, we don't know what that's going to do and the long-term reactions that's going to cause on the tectonic plates. This doesn't just stop when they quit firing this device. The Earth will keep shifting. You know, when you look at that, and when you look at the fact that they are imbalancing the weather patterns with this geoengineering,
right?
You know, and again, we really don't know what a full length damage is. I mean, the core exit thing that happened a little while ago to load up the Gulf, this has stopped the Gulf from actually moving. So I think this was all part of the plan so they could fire this thing without having to contend with the Gulf Stream.
Well, you know, I mean, this is why people like you and what you're doing, I mean, it's amazing that, you know, the planet functions as well as it does under the circumstances because, I mean, granted, you know, there's been warfare going on for ages and we've been probably exposed to radiation since I was born, and that was 60 years ago. So, those old B movies, when you see what they were talking about, they were probably more right on than one ever wants to admit how it can affect our DNA and.
Well, you got to remember, what is it? They say Hollywood actually reflects reality, or reality reflects Hollywood, however they put it. And we look at a lot of these shows, things like The Matrix and some of these other shows that have come out. They basically were trying to expose some patterns in life that were going on that people weren't aware of. And there's a lot of truth to what they were displaying. And when you look at movies like, you know, The Core, for instance, and you see how they're using the same kind of HAARP energy to burrow a hole into the planet. You know, or you look at Equilibrium, another movie where it's depicting how people are using drugs and they're programmed to use their medications at the sound of a gong. This is going on in reality today. People are, you know, going to a doctor, getting a prescription for a drug. They're taking it every so many hours to maintain the flow of this drug so they can maintain the same level of stupor or brain damage. I'm not even doubting today if they're pulling the fluoride out of the water in some areas, if they're not adding lithium back into it. Because I know they were talking about doing that in states like Texas and other places. And they had already done this in Japan so that people wouldn't commit suicide. It would keep them very docile. So again, we've got a lot of things happening about us and around us. And we've got a lot of things that are there to undermine us, underpin us, to turn us into whatever robot, android, whatever you want to call it today. And like I said, you know, when you're looking at everything from any ideology, philosophy, belief system, you know, everything that has that we've, I think, have been told, taught, made to believe in is being literally shaken. The foundations are being shaken. And I think everybody that I talk to anyway is waking up on almost on every different level.
Well,
this might be a good thing in mm-hmm. a weird way. a weird way, because, you know, people have been going about following their routines and their slave-like lifestyle. Get up in the morning, you know, smack the wife, pet the dog, brush the teeth, off to work, have your coffee, you know, mingle, jingle, do whatever, come home, watch TV for 2 hours, and that's life, and that isn't life. And with all these disruptions going on, it's literally, I think, causing people to start questioning what's going on. And I think that's in that regard, it's a good thing. And in that regard, it may start getting more people involved, because we need more people involved.
Well, I got, you know, when I get the time, other than working around some of the other research I do, I mean, again, I don't say these. I brought the scientists on. I brought the subjects and tried to talk to the people that are working in these fields so that, you know, even though maybe tonight we're not necessarily quoting the exact facts, don't take our word for it. Look these subjects up. I mean, Dr. Nick Begich has done a lot of research on and given out a lot of information on what HARP is capable of. And there are others, but these are based on patents by Bernard Eastland. And there are, and geoengineering is going on around us. You can type that in and find out that California Skywatch, she's talking about the programs that are prolific around this country alone, let alone around the rest of the world. But we have weather engineering programs. Well, if it can be used for good, it can be used for warfare. And they were using, you know, weather.
I think they still are.
Oh, I don't doubt it. But, you know, if,
you know, all these developing countries. I mean, I was watching one YouTube where a fella was interviewing the Ministry of Finance in Japan. And apparently the Japanese government was told to relinquish their assets and their finances to the American and European banks, the IMF. And as a result of this, that interview, that's they were told they were going to be harped with an earthquake device. You know, I think today we're being forced into playing games that we don't want to play as a result of this technology, because it's up in the sky. You got an array down below, and then you're firing satellite transmissions across the planet with this stuff, and it's like, what do you do? How do you fight this? You know, and the only way it's going to change or stop is, again, if everybody starts getting active with this.
And start asking questions.
Whether it's marching to Washington or Ottawa in Canada or wherever you live, to get this to quit.
Well, you know, I don't know how much research you've done into this aspect, but one of the first things that, you know, if you walk out and ask anybody on the street, they'll tell you that, you know, the world is overpopulated. And you wonder where they get that information from.
You know, I hear that all the time, and I think, what a crock of crap. This planet can seriously hold up at least 16 billion, maybe even 20. But the problem with that, the numbers, this numbers game is, the people or the corporates that are in control now cannot control the population and the growth and everything else. The trouble is you've got almost 7 billion people on this planet. And if you got one person can come along and undermine Microsoft, he's broke and busted. He loses his power base. His $28 billion assets goes down to nothing. If somebody comes along with a car that will run on water, which we have already. We've had since 1956 and earlier. You know, we've had steam engines that today we could use turbines and other things. We don't need these fossil fuels. But that would put a whole sector out to lunch, and they're not about ready to let it go. So it's easier to control a smaller amount of people, okay, with the resources that they will allocate at that point, than for everybody to have the freedom of choice to choose and do as they want to do. You got to remember, you got slaves. You don't want to let them go.
Right. I was just listening to a program this morning called Mind Control in America, and I think it was done by Stephen Jacobson. And it's really quite revealing on how vast and expansive the power elite have sat down and figured out what they want, you know, the next century or two or three ahead to do. And this is, they do this. I mean, they plan things way in advance. And to think that they don't, you know, I mean, these guys want to stay in control, and so they pretty much orchestrate as best they can how to do that. But they're not necessarily going to let us know in overt ways, although sometimes they do. So that's the part that makes
it. Well, if they're going to let us know, honestly, it's because they're trying to, again, control our direction. You got to remember, they are, about, like you said, they're about 25, 30 years advanced in everything, in the technology and warfare. You know, they've got things going on that would probably stun you and I and half the audience. And, you know, the illusions they create, the technology that's in place to do whatever they want to do. The thing is, as long as people maintain their distractions, paying your mortgage, supporting a banking system that's funding the democide of the people within the country, you know, when you look at Monsanto, for instance, you know, how they are owned by the Vatican and how they are just going everywhere they want to go. They've gone to Brazil, they've gone to Paraguay, they're in Chile, and they're just planning these things at a whim. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that these things are just completely toxic food. But again, you feed it to a certain amount of people, either they die off from cancers or other diseases or pathogens, or they become totally sterile, or they become brain dead, or they become, you know, their organs become dysfunctional, or you cut their lifespan. So you got this going on. You know, you've got, like I say, the chemtrails going on. Then you've got governments trying to regulate what you can and cannot grow, what you can and cannot eat, access to whatever vitamins that you can have. The reason why they're so hard at trying to stop your access to vitamins and regulating this with this GMP BS and this DIN crap we have here in Canada is because if you, again, come up with products that actually work, you're going to either not only put a drug, might put a drug out of business, but now you're putting a doctor out of business because you're not going to go see a doctor to be prescribed a therapy or a procedure that you otherwise may have had to have as a result because you were deficient.
Tony, what about this thing that I've stumbled across is, okay, so I've noticed, you know, over the years when I buy herbs in herbal stores, you would run across these chemicals that you're going, what did they isolate here and what did they isolate there? And I have to wonder if at times that it might be, since so many of the pharmaceutical companies are now buying up the herbal companies and the health food markets, and it makes me wonder if they were introducing some of these isolates in through the health food arena because they didn't have the oversight and passed it off as food. What do you think of that?
Oh, listen, the health food industry is owned by the drug company. End of story. All right. When you And they've got two divisions. Look, Whole Foods came out about 3 months ago. They were exposed for feeding their cattle genetically modified foods and then calling it natural meat. So a lot of, I'm in this industry, okay? And I used to treat it as a sacred cow. Now I treat it like an old whore on the street corner because that's what it is today. You gotta think in terms of this. Today, if you're not buying vitamins, okay, and again, when you're looking even at the vitamins in the health food industry, some of them have soy in them. Some of them have canola oil in them. Some of them even have antifreeze in them. Okay, so you really got to understand that a lot of this stuff has already been infiltrated by the drug industry, and they are putting in byproducts and waste in these things. Isolates they're using in protein. Again, soy protein isolate, it's a lethal poison, yet it's being pushed as a panacea for health. You're getting rice protein now and pea protein. Pea protein is no different than soy protein. You know, people that are hearing that are saying, what? What? Say that again? Pea protein has as much estrogen, if not more estrogen, than the soy. And yet here they are promoting it as some sort of, again, health food. The health food industry has become the garbage industry. Whatever is left over in mainstream gets put into the health food so they can sell it and increase their profit margin. Fish oil, soybean oil, canola oil, aspartame. It was there for a while. Splenda, it's there now. You know, like I said, propylene glycol.
I don't think aspartame hasn't gone away. I'm still.
You can go and still get some protein powders and protein shakes. It still has it in it. Some protein bars. All your protein bars today are garbage. They're nothing but sugar-coated soy. And they'll have whey protein isolate in there, and they'll have caseins in there. There's very few out there today. There was one company that had one. I don't know if they're still producing it. It was a company by the name of Roax. It's one of those MLM type deals. But they actually used to have. I don't know if they do. And again, I can't say this. I'm not trying to endorse anybody here. But they used to have a protein bar that had a whey protein isolate, had coconut oil, and it was sweetened with xylitol. I couldn't believe it. It was one of the few, if not the only one at that time, that didn't have soy, canola, filler, binder, sweeteners and high fructose corn syrup and a whole host of other crap in them. What they've done even with cereals, you look at a health food store, you go in there thinking, well, okay, I'm not going to buy sugar. Oh, that sugar Frosted Flakes has got all kinds of sugar. Yet they're using a fructose sugar from apples and grapes. It makes absolutely no difference. And yet this is being marketed as a health food. So if you got a kid who's got allergies or respiratory issues, the first thing I tell everybody is no grains, no starches, no bananas, grapes, raisins, watermelons, dates, pork. These things are high in sugar. And for pork? Most people who have intestinal disorders, IBS, Crohn's, leaky gut syndrome, enteritis, whatever. This is all the same different disease at different levels. And again, once you get rid of the grains, guess what? That all goes away.
So is it the sugar and or both or what?
Sugar produces mucus and alcohol in the colon. So what winds up happening, these grains are sugar and they ferment. Eating a piece of bread, what do you got in there? Yeast, sugar, and grain. Well, that's what beer is made out of. Well, you're eating that. You're at 98.6. You're percolating the stuff in your colon. All right? You're eating some pasta with this. You're eating some rice with this. Okay? The rice is genetically engineered. The wheat is genetically engineered. So now it's changing your DNA in your colon, in your stomach. How many people do you get called having acid reflux or acid in the stomach all the time? That's because the stomach is trying to break down something that's trying to change its DNA. I get people on this regimen, and I tell them just to do it for 10 days, just 10 days. In 10 days, they lose 1 to 2 inches off their waist. They lose somewhere between 6 and 10 pounds. All of a sudden, they're not farting like a gas bomb. They're not percolating like a still. They're not burping all the time. They're not gurgling all the time. Now, what's happened is the waste that's built up in the colon now is shifting and going away, and you're not reloading the colon again. So what winds up happening after a 10-day time frame, all of a sudden you see your stomach flat, and I'm not telling anybody to do any kind of excessive exercising. I'm not telling you to go out there and beat yourself up and lift cars over your head or run 5,000 miles. I'm telling them going for a short walk, 15 minutes to get more oxygen in the system, ride a bike, do something gentle. And you know what? From kid to adult, they all seen a benefit with this. And again, it's not, I'm like not blowing my own horn, but this is nothing new. Atkins said the same thing 40 years ago. The problem with Atkins was he wasn't allowing for any carb. I do. I allow for apples, peaches, plums, pears. I allow for citrus fruits of all sorts, berries of all sorts. You are allowed a potato in this, baked, boiled, broiled, or mashed, whether it be sweet potato, yucca, or a regular potato. Because when you take away the bread, by the third day, you're climbing the wall. You take away the pasta, the rice, the cookies, the pita breads, all that stuff. By the third day, most people are going through withdrawal because it's a sugar withdrawal you're dealing with.
Well, is there, there's also some other things going on in there, but we've hit so many negative aspects of what's going on with our food at this point in time.
Got the DNA restructuring because, like I said, majority of the people that are eating the breads, now whether it's rice, corn, wheat, okay, these are the things they genetically engineered. Now, I got a report on for Friday's show. It's already up. You can go there and download it if you like. On the glyphosates that they're using in the soil. It completely depletes the soil from all mineral, or the plants from all their minerals. You know, you get this thing all the time where it cracks me up. You got the people who are believing in a raw food diet, which is nothing but a glorified vegetarian or vegan lifestyle. Some of them are eating raw meat, which I think is absolutely insanity. They're asking for parasite issues. But they're eating these foods that are aged either, and you'll see on a lot of these things that they're, you know, USDA organic. I don't know how, in all honesty, with all the science and things that I've ever read and studied, I do not know or understand how you can tell me that you have an organic anything if you're going to consider the definition of organic as clean, which isn't the actual definition. I made this point before. All organic means is carbon-based. And like I've said before, you can dump a boatload of chemicals on a tree. It doesn't change the fact that it's still organic. It's polluted. It's contaminated. But nonetheless, it's organic. And I don't doubt for a second that a lot of our foods that are coming from outside the United States and Canada are, again, contaminated. With whether it be contaminated with pesticides, whether it be contaminated with herbicides, whether it be contaminated with radioactive material, contaminated with genetically engineered, even if they're not GMO grown, and if they're in a proximity of another farm in another area or close by, there's going to be that transgenic transference. You know, Mexico found corn planted 1,000 miles away, and they found a genetic code of that corn, which had been genetically engineered 1,000 miles south of where it was planted. So, again, this is another one of these make-you-feel-good terms so that you can eat these things thinking that you're eating something safe. And I tell people all the time, buy it locally, grow it yourself, and start learning that art of growing your own things. Because today, you really can't trust the standards that are there. Anybody that tells you differently, I like to see their the credibility behind that.
What do you do? Do you subscribe any to something that I've run across a time or two about the weeds that grow outside? That they're actually, the reason they're there is they're actually replenishing the soils, and that they're, you know, even though the more prevalent they are and the more we think that they are a pest, they really are bringing back to the soil something that's definitely needed.
You got to remember something. The guys that have been pointing out you for years about the green gas effect of cows and cattle, they're so full of manure, it's unbelievable, honestly. It's so stupid what they say. Again, it's about marketing and getting people stupid. Look, if I take away all your protein from animal sources, all your saturated fats, Saturated fats protect you from cancer, and they don't want you to eat any real meats. So, again, if you are eating a meat today, the leaner the better, because, again, if they're pumping hormones and steroids in some of these animals, you're definitely going to get the impact of that as well. So, again, if it's a grass-fed cow, yeah, you're going to get the recycling back into the earth, and it's going to refertilize the planet, because the fecal matter coming from the cow's colon has also got bacteria. And what does that do? The bacteria actually feeds the root base of these plants. Okay? Plants don't just pull minerals from the ground through the root structure. They need help with either fungal or bacterial cultures in the soil that convert these components to a...
And that was one of the problems with the glyphosate, right? Is because it was...
The glyphosate takes it out.
Right, right.
So again, you got... You know, this is again... stupidity. Pure stupidity. You know, 90 years ago, people lived to their in their 90s. Okay, all this nonsense about they had a shorter lifespan, that's a bunch of horse manure. If you look back, they lived healthier, they didn't have cancers, they didn't have a lot of issues that we have today, and if they did have them, they were nowhere near the numbers we have today. And someone might argue, well, we had less people back then. That may be true, but if you do a comparison from apples to apples and percentages, you'll find they lived longer and were healthier. What killed them eventually was old age. They wore out.
Well,
now, the thing is, they ate fat. They ate cows that ate grasses, not dead cows through the fecal matter of chickens and pigs. They ate non-genetically engineered foods. Men and women back then were not dying of heart attacks. They were eating salt, and they were eating lots of salt, and it never caused a heart attack. And yet here today we're told, oh, cut back your salt. You cut back your salt, those chemtrails will run you ragged, because the salt is what's holding your moisture together. And it's the salt that also keeps your system alkalized. Women need to be using a little bit more salt and a lot less calcium. Okay, but because, again, a lot of women have been using fluoride in their drinking water, the fluoride has displaced the calcium in their skeletal structure. So, you got to use the calcium, but in small amounts. Start using more potassium, more sea salt, has all the trace elements, more magnesium. These are minerals you can absorb.
Now, one of the things that I was understanding from the person that was presenting this presentation on the glyphosate is that it kills some of the plant's ability to absorb like manganese or magnesium or and it does it slowly, so the plant eventually, what he termed, was died of something like AIDS to a plant.
Yeah, well, basically, okay, in nature, the way nature works, the reason why we have a pestilence problem with our plants is because pests are there literally to clean up anything that is useless. Okay, that's just the balance of things. If a plant is growing and it's growing with nothing there, doesn't have the nutritional value there to sustain it, because if a plant is healthy and has nutrition to it, it can repel pests all by itself. But when you're growing things with just three components, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, and that's it, well, the way it works is it's looking at that plant now as a weed. So it needs to take it away so the healthier plants can grow. So what we're doing basically is we're growing useless weeds, if you will, that are totally mineral deficient. Some of them are antioxidant deficient, enzyme deficient. We're harvesting them, okay? We're adding genetics to them so that they will repel these bugs. And then once the bugs get used to these plants, now they have been altered. Where a bug would eat a plant before, now it's going to eat a pig, because now it's eating a pig gene. And this is coming out more and more now as well. I'll read you what I've got here. It's on my Friday show. Again, you can go to the webpage, http://... augmentinforce.50webs.com. It'll be on the June 3rd
Say that
show.
Again and slow down.
Augmentinforce.
Okay.
.50webs.com.
Okay.
It'll be on the script of the show for June 3rd. And it's there. It says, pathogens, new to science, found in Roundup Ready GM crops. Okay, I'll just read the highlights. A new plant pathogen, Roundup Ready GM soybean and corn, that may be responsible for high rates of infertility and spontaneous abortions in livestock. They're warning of the pathogen. I said they're talking that it may collapse the American soy and corn exports because, again, what's going on. Even the Europeans in the European Union now are looking at the studies and they're reexamining the studies because they've seen this, because now people have heard of it over there. The new pathogen appears associated with serious pervasive disease in plants, sudden death syndrome in soy, and goss wilt in corn. Recent reports of infertility rates in dairy heifers over 20% and spontaneous abortions in cattle as high as 45%. Now we have women, human women, not alien women, human women, who are pregnant. They may be eating some of these byproducts. We don't know what that's going to do. Okay, unintended creations of new pathogens through assisted horizontal gene transfer and recombination. We are now seeing an unprecedented trend of increasing plant and animal diseases and disorders. We are creating famine here. Okay? RR gene, or more likely the presence of Roundup. Roundup itself is a promoter or cofactor of this pathogen. It's this RR gene, right? And when they talk about this, it gets into the glyphosates. Let me get here. I believe the threat we are facing from this pathogen is unique and at high risk status. In layman's terms, it should be treated as an emergency. This previously unknown organism is only visible under an electron microscope at 36,000x.
Wow.
Okay. It is able to reproduce and appears to be microfungal-like organism. There is strong evidence that this infectious agent promotes diseases of both plants and mammals, which are very rare. Pathogen location and concentration. It is found in high concentrations in Roundup Ready soybean meal and corn. So much for high fructose corn syrup. Distiller's meal, fermentation feed products, pig stomach organisms is profiled plants infected with two pervasive diseases that are driving down yields and farmers' income. Sudden death syndrome. That's what it's causing.
Does it mention prions at all?
Not here.
Okay.
The pathogen is also found in the fungal causative agent of SDS. It gives you a list of them. It's implicated in animal reproductive failure, with spontaneous abortions and fertility. Over the same period, another 1,000 heifers from the same herd that were raised on hay and had no abortions. Isn't that interesting? It says, side effects of glyphosate use may have facilitated the growth of this pathogen or allowed it to cause greater harm to weaken plant and animal hosts. It is well documented that glyphosates promote soil pathogens and is already implicated with the increase of more than 40 plant diseases. They already know it's dangerous. It dismantles plant defenses by chelating vital nutrients and reduces the bioavailability of nutrient in feed, which in turn can cause animal disorders.
And so, it's only logical to follow through that, if it's going to do it to animals, it's probably going to do it to us, right?
Oh, definitely. The most definite. And why do you think today's times, you've got kids 0 to 5, 19 to 29, and the age who are retired in such bad shape? A lot of the retirees, actually, I got to say, from the ones I've met, are in better shape than some of the people in their 20s. Some of us in our 50s and 60s are feeling things that we should never be feeling yet until we're about 80 or 90. But again, a lot of this is because of deficiencies. And they're finding a lot of tumor growths are going on in people. A lot of organ dysfunctions are going on in people, like thyroid and pancreas, as a result of lack. You don't have enough. What's the term? I've lost the term.
Hypo.
Let me find it again here. Basically, it's a deficiency. And the more deficient you are in certain elements, in certain proteins or certain enzymes, your organs wind up reacting a certain way, or you wind up with certain health conditions that otherwise wouldn't be there if there was no deficiency. Now, I get this argument all the time, too. Well, I'm going to go natural. I'm going to eat all the foods and the natural foods to stay and maintain health. My argument back at them is, in 1936, the U.S. government itself made an edict saying that people should be using vitamins and supplements, because back in 1936, the soil was already depleted. And now we've added pathogens to the soil, which makes it even more toxic. So you're not going to get all your foods from a natural source, unless you grow your own bricks garden or your own box garden, and you're putting in the nutrients in the soil so these plants can have what they need.
But you got to also remember, too, that you got to have certain pathogens for the breakdown. I mean, there's certain ones that are healthy and other ones that are not, right?
For sure. I mean, I was watching this guy out of Alaska, because when I was in Arizona there, I met a guy who was a permaculturist, and he was telling me about a fellow in Alaska that was growing stuff. And someone sent me a video, and this guy had 30-pound rutabagas, 30-pound, 40-pound cauliflower and cabbage heads. He had leeks that were about 4 inches in circumference, and they were about 2 feet long. He didn't genetically engineer anything. All he did is he took some potting soil or some compost. He mixed it with sugar. He mixed it with a bacterial culture. And he put vitamins in it. He blended it up together, cooked it in a tea. And then what he did is he aerated it with an old fish pump. Took a quarter, probably about 4 to 5 ounces of it, mixed it with a gallon of water, and watered his garden. The plants were so healthy that they produced their own defense mechanism. Plants covered themselves with their own wax coating, where the pests wouldn't even go near the plants. They had actually started feeding on the weeds, because the weeds were a lot easier to eat.
Huh.
Now, this was all done naturally without any problems in regard to using glycophosphates, Roundup Ready, or any of this horse manure. But, okay, if you try to do that today, Monsanto put pressure on your politician or somebody in power and say, oh, you can't have a garden. That's what Bill 510 is. That's what Bill C-36 is. Oh, you can't grow that.
You can get into that a little bit. Now, you're talking about Codex Alimentarius and these
We're talking about Agenda 21, Codex, the European Food and Safety Authority, the Health Protection Branch, the Ministry of Health. These are all collusions of the same thing. Ever wonder why the FDA and the FTC have been told by the Senate or the Congress not to interfere and not to make any changes or do anything, and yet these institutions violate that system anyway, because they don't work for the American government. They work for another government, another agency, and this is why they do what they do. There's no reason in the world why we need to put out a GMP in the United States or a DIN number in Canada unless we're trying to strip these things from the general access and turn them into a prescription. Okay? There's more money in prescribing you CQ10 and charging $500 a bottle than you going to a health food store and buying it for $30. You know, if vitamin C ever got yanked off the market, you will never, ever see it again, ever. If it can cure H1N1, if it can cure polio, you will never see it again. And that's what these bills are all about. Denying everyone access in North America to things that really work.
And often, and this is the thing that people need to be aware of, is the fact that they will usually go off after something that has a possible, only possible nefarious or not as popular usage, such as mahuang or lobelia or something somewhere along the line. It got a bad name over its use, and often it isn't even backed up by legitimate research. It's just hearsay, and they will pull it off the market, but that's how they get their foot in the door, and then they start after other things that are definitely have been proven to be useful, right? And well, even mahjong, it has no when it's used in its total natural form, they don't have any deaths from it, but they claim they
do. You know what? You don't have any deaths from ephedrine either. Okay, the reason why let me give you a little bit of history about ephedrine. Okay.
Okay.
The reason why that was yanked off the market, not because it caused anybody to die, because the Canadian military tested ephedrine. Now, this is what they used for ephedrine. When we can still access it here in Canada. You can't in the United States, but we can here. But it's been reduced dramatically because we have people here with severe asthma cases, and it does help with breathing issues. But if you take it properly, you can do certain amazing things with it. Now, ephedrine, when we were selling it, was a 25 milligram strength. You would give it with 100 milligrams of coffee, and you had the best fat-burning product on the market, bar none. Anybody that used that stuff lost body mass. I don't care who you were. I don't care what the condition was. You lost it. The only people that shouldn't have been using that were people with high blood pressure, thyroid issues, or heart conditions. Now, let's get to the Canadian military, okay? The Canadian military tested ephedrine. Now, they gave their soldiers 100 milligrams of ephedrine. I can walk on water with 100 milligrams of ephedrine, okay? And they gave them 500 milligrams of caffeine with it.
So they overdid it.
Nope, not at all.
No?
No.
Are you saying that it didn't do anything?
It was safe.
Really?
Completely safe. These guys were breaking land records, shooting records. They were able to stay up all night doing guard duty. They were able to lift more weights, better trained. They could run further, do things farther. Some of the soldiers did wind up with some heart palpitation, and the way you offset that is by taking taurine, B5, and magnesium, and no more problem. But because the drug companies at the time were selling all this horse hockey to say to you know get you to lose body mass, you could go to a health food store, buy a bottle of ephedrine for $10, a bottle of caffeine for $10. At $20, you had a 3-month supply. Why would you go to a drugstore? Then they came out with this horse hockey about, you know, oh, the druggies are making ecstasy out of it. The guys that are making ecstasy out of ephedrine, honest to Pete, would not go to a health food store and buy ephedrine. That has got to be the lamest and the dumbest thing ever. They would order it directly from China, Asia, Greece, or wherever, and they would buy it by the ton. All right? They're not going to go to a health food store and take 30 bottles of this stuff. Even the guy growing it in his own house isn't going to do that. I mean, if they're selling that stuff, they're going to make big bucks. You know, the drug lords didn't like the competition. You know.
Okay, let me go ahead and say this is KHENLP 106.9 Salida, and my guest this evening is Tony Pantelorisco. And I want to again say the views expressed on this program are those of myself and of my guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the KHEN staff, volunteers, or board of directors. And we're just kind of visiting over different health issues and herbs and all little things in our environment that we're being exposed to. And Tony has a, you know, give him your website and your program, and you do YouTube videos on how to make remedies. And this is something this is one of the, where you stand out. I don't find this on a lot of out there in the world very much, finding YouTube videos on how to make stuff, or am I incorrect on this? If you were to
oh no, there's a lot of good. There's no, I'm not the only one. By no stretch of the imagination, there's a lot of good productions going on YouTube. There's a lot of dumb productions as well, but even the dumb ones are making people aware that there are at least getting them interested. You know what I mean?
Good.
So, but no, I've actually had a naturopath contact me, and he was looking for how to get iodine in the United States. I told him you can buy the potassium iodide there, but you're going to have to make your own iodide crystals. So I gave him my link to go check out the YouTube and how to make it. So he wrote me back and said he saw that I was a genuine, real deal kind of guy, but he was a little bit alarmed about sending people at home to make their own iodide crystals. And I wrote him back and says, you as a healer have an obligation to educate and illuminate people so that if, for whatever reason comes along, you and I are no longer around, at least now they can take care of themselves and learn how to make their own remedies. See, I knew Agenda 21 was coming 2 years ago. And so I started really pushing the webpage. I was on MySpace for a while. I was pushing it like crazy there. I had an opportunity then to get in and start doing radio. And when I got into the radio, you know, as time went on, the Agenda 21 came along, I started pumping that on the micro effect a lot. And then I decided the only way people are going to be able to beat Agenda 21 is not for me to go out there and market and patent my ideas, but to start sharing those ideas and putting them out there and letting everybody take those ideas and then make those ideas better. And I say that all the time. I get people that constantly, if you go on my YouTube, they're constantly sending me, you know, comments. For the most part, I'd have to say 99% of the time they've been positive comments. I get the odd one that says something to whatever, but that's okay. But I tell everybody, make it better, share the health. Because if every one of us has this information, I don't care where you live, I don't care what part of the world you live in, and I got people contacting me from the Philippines, from Brazil, from Chile, Argentina, Europe, Netherlands, across Canada, across the United States, big time across the U.S. I've had people contacting from Poland, even the Middle East, which surprised me, and even in India. The whole idea is, if we're being aggressively shut down and we're going to be denied access to whatever, then we need to know how to make it ourselves. Because up the way, if we don't know how to make these things, and this is a lost art, basically, and basically I'm trying to hopefully, you know, bring it back on its own, and like I said, to get everybody in a sort of tsunami effect, where one person shares it with one, and two people are sharing it with two, and four are sharing it with eight, and eight are sharing it with 16. Before you know it, you've got a network of people doing this stuff. It just dawned on me today. I had people emailing me about, you know, how to do things, and just that dawned on me that I'm actually having a correspondence course going on with people and didn't even realize it. So, you know, things are growing and developing under my nose. I'm not even aware of it half the time.
So, there are a number of other people out there doing this as well, which is good. I mean, like it's like you said, that we really do need to expand this out so that people can treat themselves. And my problem is remembering all the things I've learned over the years and being able to access it.
Well, you know what I've done? I actually downloaded this program off of Ninite, www.ninite.com, N-I-N-I-T-E. It's called Everything. It's a beautiful program. If you can't find the stuff on your webpage, you just pop up this program, type in the text, and it shows you exactly where the folder is. You can access it right from there. If you had to go to my computer today, you would wonder what life form was running this thing.
Well, I
there
also
are days
like
I shake my head. I'm thinking, holy jumping. You know, I've got two computers, three backups. I mean, I've got all kinds of stuff all over the place, memory sticks. I've been sending DVDs out all over the place. I've sent the backups out so that people can download and keep on spreading this information that's on these backups so that, you know, again, I'm a big promoter of health and life and freedom. And I don't believe, first and foremost, we should be bound to any disease or illness. I don't believe in any stretch of the imagination that we should be bound to the medical association or the drug industry. I don't believe we should be bound to any government that tries to commit democide on its own people. And I am damn sure don't believe we should be bound to any banking institution that is funding this kind of death over any country. Or the globe, for that matter. So, you know, this whole thing I'm doing, again, I was aware of what was coming on. So I started this, and I've had help with. I've had a lot of good people come along in my scope, my friends. I've had people, young people, that have been contacting me from everywhere, from Massachusetts, across the United States and Canada. I'll tell you, a lot of young people out there are sharp. I know for a fact that you will surpass me hugely, which is good. They need to surpass me. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of them that are really with it. And it really is good to see the interest, the enthusiasm. And like I said, this is what I'm trying to inspire with a lot of other people. The more people that get inspired, then you got a network of people that are brainstorming. More gallons, for instance. You know, I'm working on this thing too, and a bunch of other people. And I think more and more of us are coming up with solutions that are legitimate and how to beat this thing. And we're finding that I'm not convinced completely anymore that it's just coming from the chemtrails. I think it's a dual effect from the GMOs and the chemtrails combined.
Actually, I'm hearing that myself. So
yeah, I don't think it's just one thing. The way I'm seeing it and how I'm interpreting it from my observations and from the studies I've got on it, it's like the Roundup. What happens is with Roundup ready crop, they don't grow until you spray this crap on them. So once you, and again, we see how it has all kinds of pathogens and a fungi within the glyphosates and the genetically modified Roundup foods. Well, something has to trigger that fungal release, ergo HARP and the chemtrails. So it's
frequency.
The way it works is our immune systems can suppress or fight off any one pathogen. But when you combine or create a synergy with that pathogen, our immune system is still fighting it, but loses ground. Now, as we get older, our immune system gets more compromised, so it's a lot easier to push you back. But now, if you start using certain things like a baking soda, borax, an Epsom salt bath, and you start using things like enzymes and iodine, and you might start using things like colloidal silver, and start using electrical impulses. You're giving your body's little mini shocks to fry these things out of your system. You might be surprised.
Now, are you talking about like a thing like a zapper?
A zapper or a homemade unit. You can make them yourself. There's a lot of units out there. I encountered a unit in Arizona. I was there about 2 weeks ago doing a workshop seminar kind of thing. And this thing was for regenerating muscle and tissue regeneration, but it fires an electrical discharge and a laser.
Like a TENS?
It is amazing.
I
don't know what it's called. I can't tell you, because I forgot what the bloody thing's called. But anyway, and I left it at my daughter. She's mailing it to me. So, but anyway, the way it works now, I will give you another little tidbit on this. Okay? You're going to use either turpentine or DMSO. And you're going to rub it on an area. And then you're going to fire the electrical charge around the area, not directly on it. This is what transpires. When you're using a solvent like turpentine or DMSO, and you can use turpentine with salt, I would suggest you do it that way. What you would do is take 1 or 2 ounces of turpentine, 2 to 3 ounces of peanut oil. A little salt, mix it together, shake it up, apply it on the area. What we're doing now is we're using a solvent to penetrate the epidermis to transport the salt into the cells. What is that going to do? It's going to dissolve the hold of the barbs or whatever that's going on inside the skin cells. So it loosens them up. Now you're firing an electrical charge around it. You're doing a 360. What are we doing then? We are frying them. Just an idea.
Is this something that like Hilda Clark had used?
It's like that idea. It's a little different. I've kind of modified it.
So it's nothing that you, I mean, the type of
thing I've used it for this tick thing I've been fighting. And I've been seeing amazing results with it. Now, the key here is this. You have to use a solvent to dissolve the connection to the cells. That's where salt and the solvent comes in. When you fire the discharge, you're literally frying it out. So again, and the other thing too I want to point out before I go on, they just found out this week in Vancouver, in British Columbia, that a lot of lice now that people are having are carrying MRSA. That doesn't happen. Now, if you've been bit by a tick or a lice, there's a good chance something like that might be going on. And these things they weave some kind of a web as well. So what you're doing is when you're killing these things off, you are disconnecting that. And when you take that bath in the borax, baking soda solution, and Epsom salt, have a brush and lightly brush the skin as well. You might be surprised at what comes out.
Now, are you using this at all with the Morgellons?
I haven't. I can't say I've used it with Morgellons. I'm also theorizing I may have some of it too. It's a possibility. We've looked at it under believe it or not, a toy called an Eyeclops. It can actually magnify between 1 and 400 times. So we've seen stuff in the skin, and I've looked at it myself. I've looked at other people. And I don't think none of us are going to escape this. I think every one of us have these little tiny particulates on either the hair follicle or the skin cells. You can't see the bloody things. That's just it. And until you magnify them. And with a normal magnifying lens, you can't see them. Now,
so
if you take a bath that's hot enough, that's is usually about 130 degrees or in that ballpark, about 55 to 60 Celsius, you may find that if you do have lice or lice infection, they'll come out. It'll kill them. If you've got a tick, these ticks are a bugger, and the only way they seem to come out is either using a solvent-like solution or using an electrical discharge. I've had stuff in my skin when I've done this, now I'm not sure if it was Morgellons or stuff that I might have been exposed to in the past, fiberglass or whatever. When I've done this, I've had this stuff pop right out, like it just shot out, like, oh, isn't that interesting? You know, so I've seen that. I've been playing with this, been trying to figure this out, and I'm not the only one. And again, I'm not saying this is the only solution by no stretch of the imagination. It's still basically in an experimental stage, but I'm seeing good results so far. And again, these are suggestions, okay? They're a recipe at best. So if you do try this, you try this at your own discretion.
Well, you might explain what Morgellons is a little bit, too.
You know what? I don't think anybody really knows. I mean, some people think it's a pathogen carrying silicates and particulates. Others think it's just particulates from, you know, like fibers that are growing through the skin. I personally think, again, it's probably this combination of genetic material with this fungi attaching itself to the particulates coming out of the sky, causing this kind of problem to occur. This, again, is what I am observing. I may not be exactly accurate with this. And I may be totally off the wall, but this is what I'm seeing so far. And again, it appears that we are being attacked in a binary form. In other words, we're getting hit with two things or three things at one time. Now, if the Morgellons isn't killing you off and you're not getting affected enough, now we're adding radiation to the atmosphere. You're not dying fast enough, damn it. We got to poison you some more.
So, what is this Tiaga stuff? Are you familiar with it?
Is it called now?
Tiaga or Chiaga?
I've heard about it now. Give me a second. I have to look it up.
Isn't it some kind of a mushroom or
There's Chaga, and then I think I've heard this one too. I might have.
I'm wondering if it's the same thing because I've seen it with a T and I've seen it with a CH.
Okay, so. The Chaga I'm familiar with. That's a beauty. That is one mushroom that is awesome. I got to tell you, it saved a cat from cancer. So, and I'm not saying remission. And I'm not saying whatever that the medical people want to call it. I am saying C-U-R-E or H-E-A-L-E-D, healed. It is in the dictionary. We can use these words. Okay? It is there. I mean, contrary to what the FDA, FTC, the European Food and Safety, and the Ministries of Health, and whatever the hell else is out there, these words are still in the dictionary. Go look it up. Webster has it. Funk and Wagnall has it. World Book Encyclopedia has it. They all have this word. You can use that word. if you say it cures something, all of a sudden now it's a drug. I don't know how in the bloody hell we came to that conclusion. I have yet to see a drug heal anything. Honest to God. You know, think about, does aspirin cure a headache? No. It reduces inflammation? Yes. It can cure, and it can cure pancreatic cancers if it's combined with nitric oxide. It will cure it, yes. But
I've never heard that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, nitric oxide and aspirin kills cancer seven different ways, all of them. Now, believe it or not, the best combination for lung cancer is ibuprofen and nitric oxide, which was a bit of a surprise when I saw the research on it. They have had cures for cancer since the 1900s, early 1900s. And this horse manure about there's no cure for cancer, that's because we say the word cure, we're going to turn something into a drug, and once we turn it into the drug, we take it off the market. That's what happens. Now, chaga, just like some of these other mushrooms, are phenomenal. I don't play with mushrooms enough. I'm starting to. But the chaga one I started a couple years ago, we gave it to a cat. The cat had 6 months to live. When we first saw the cat's charts, the cat's bio signs were all over the chart. They had it in three columns, and I don't think there was one segment where it wasn't scattered. After 2 months of this, they did another examination of the cat. All its biomarkers were right down the middle. Now, chaga wasn't the only thing we gave this cat. We gave this cat meat. We gave this cat eggs. We gave this cat milk, unpasteurized milk, yogurt, cottage cheese, fat, butter, ghee. We got it off of all the damn veterinarian crap that they're feeding them at the vet's office and the supermarket crap that you buy at the supermarket.
Okay, now you want to tone it down just a tad bit here. Okay.
Hey.
So.
We got it off of all the sugar and the soy and the canola and all the crap that's in the dry food. Okay? Dry foods, cats and dogs, like we've said before, have no digestive system to break down carbohydrates. Zero. And all this dry food you're giving your animals is nothing but pure sugar. These animals wind up becoming diabetic. All of a sudden, they're going blind. All of a sudden, their back end isn't working properly. All of a sudden, they're in a lot of pain. All of a sudden, they're having tooth issues. And you're going to a vet, having dental work done on your cat and dog's teeth. If you gave them the meat and the fat that they're supposed to eat, and you let them go out and eat grasses, or you give them live vegetation once in a while so they can clean their bowels, it works. If you give them real bone, hard bone to chew on, guess what? They get their calcium. They get their gelatin. They get all the good stuff from that. And that's what you should be feeding your animal, your pets, your cats and dogs. They are carnivores, not herbivores. So when you start thinking, well, I'm going to give my dog soy, you just killed your dog. Yeah, I'm going to give my cat, you know, some corn. Or some wheat, you just killed your cat. You know, that's the reality of what's going on. That's what we did with that cat. We got him off of all that crap. And you know what? That cat, fur came back. The hair was thick. The eyes were lit up. She was jumping up on the shelf. She was a 13-year-old cat. She was leaping around like a kitten. So we gave it what the cat needed, and we gave her. And the cat, the funniest thing is, the cat would not eat the food until the chaga was put on it.
Now, how did you prepare the chaga?
What you do, if you get chaga, please do not kill the birch tree. Cut the mushroom off, leave the tree alone. cut it. If you do find it, cut it about an inch to an inch and a half away from the tree bark. Leave some on there. The mushroom is there primarily to keep the tree alive because the tree is not getting enough oxygen. So, again, I would implore you, if you need it to fight cancer, HIV, AIDS, or some of these things, use it. But don't abuse the tree. Don't abuse nature. Don't abuse God's creation. It's not intended for you to cut down the bloody tree to do this. The mushrooms will have all the elements of the tree without having to chop the tree down. Now, when you get the mushroom, wash it really good. Just scrub it. I don't cut anything off of it. I just scrub it with a good brush, cut it, wash out the outer layer, and then I take wine. A good red wine. Doesn't matter what you want to use. I use a Malbec sometimes. Sometimes I use a Merlot. Doesn't matter. Whatever strokes your boat, use it. Just make sure it's red. I pour it into a slow cooker. And then you slow cook it on low heat for at least 1 to 2 days. Strain it. You've just made chaga. Now, sometimes you can get a second batch out of it by redoing it again, depending on how much you put into the pot. And it is an amazing mushroom. And that's how you cook mushrooms. You do not boil them. If you boil them, you kill them. They have to be simmered at a low temperature.
Okay. I mean, one of the things that I was watching a video that had Paul Stamets on, and he was showing... had some pictures that showed that the mycelium it looked very similar to the neurons in the brain, which struck me, you know, and some of the classes I'd taken on Chinese, I believe it was Chinese medicine or whatever, showing that a lot of these plants out in nature tell us what they're good for, and it's often made me wonder if some of these, the mycelium is good for the brain.
There is a mushroom. I'm not sure which one. It's either turkey tail or another one that they're actually using it for, or lion's mane.
Yeah,
they're actually using it for memory. Now, again, I can't say for sure it works. I don't normally go that route for brain. I usually get people to use nootropics. That I've seen work. I've seen that work with people in their 70s and 80s. I give people sometimes rosemary, good doses of rosemary for that reason as well. Turmeric, thyme. Thyme increases DHA levels naturally. So again, I have never played with it for that. I have used a defraction maitake from a company called D. Griffin. We've seen a lot of success with people who've had cancer, beat cancer with that in conjunction with the SCACT and IP6, this we have seen work. Again, changing the eating regimen as well. No sugar, no meat, no soy, no tap water, no packaged foods. You are eating living, live foods. And I'm not talking raw stuff either. I'm talking, you know, foods that are alive nutritionally, using things like gelatin, using things like whey protein, because, again, of the way they work. If you can get unpasteurized milk, that's about the only raw meat I will eat is unpasteurized milk.
So, so you're just getting new to the mushroom. Is there anything else that has come out that you've been working with that has been worthy of your notice?
Oh, geez. Like I said, I've got a lot of young people that, you know, from Maine to California and across. I've got a guy in Switzerland. And I'm telling you, I get barraged with these people's information. And some of it, I mean, one of them, a young gal and her boyfriend found a site. They said they had a treat for me, and boy, was it a goodie. I can't even keep up anymore. You know, so that's good. Like I said, there's an enthusiasm.
You're working with some rosemary right now. What are your uses with
rosemary?
That?
I think is something everybody should be using because it has over 20 different antioxidants in it. It has some of the strongest cancer fighting properties. It removes some of these estrogens that we're exposed to. It blocks the uptake of estrogen. It helps remove it. Supports the liver huge. Supports the heart huge. It is a brain tonic or brain nootropic. I'm always looking at things that's always going to increase my brain's efficiency. So I'm always using nootropics. I'm using things like paracetam. I'm using things like choline, DMAE, sunflower lecithin, paracetamol. I'm using these things myself.
Nootropic.
I'm using rosemary.
Nootropic good. Meaning?
Say again, I'm sorry?
Nootropic meaning?
Oh, sorry. Nootropics is a Greek word meaning of the brain or of the mind. Foods, nutrients, or specific things that actually work on the brain. Now, I've used these things for years. I've been giving them to people for years. These things work. Now, ginkgo, if you're going to do ginkgo, honestly, go drink a black cup of coffee. You'll get about the same impact. If you want to use something like periwinkle, rosemary, sage, thyme, bay leaf, these super help the brain. They help reduce lipofuscin in the brain, which means a fat buildup or collection of fat. You want to use either CQ10 or something called idebenone. You might want to use something called galantamine, which actually protects the acetylcholine from breaking down. You may want to use things like paracetam, aniracetam, Rx aracetam. These things actually allow for the left and the right side of the brain to communicate more effectively and more efficiently.
Where do you get those? I've never heard of them.
You contact me, you see. You go online, you can get paracetam anyway. If you look up nootropics, go to my webpage.
Okay.
Go to my webpage. Click on the nootropic link. You'll see the rudimentary nootropics like B6, B12, B1, paracetam, ginkgo. These are some things I mentioned. These are things that most people can relate to. But then when you go into the second link or the second page, you will see something with oxaliracetam, aniracetam, paracetam. Then you go to the third page. The third page is where you find the treasure. You got a list there about a mile long of what you can get or use and how they work. Well, or at least a starting point where you can do some research.
Okay. I've got some work to do on that one.
I made it a little easier for you. At least there, it's all sort of database for you, so you can just go pull it up, download it on your desktop or print it off, and then you can start doing a hunt on that.
Okay.
Believe you me, if you start using it in conjunction with taking Lugo's iodine, your stamina is incredible, mentally as well.
Okay, now I've heard there are those who purport the Lugo's and some that don't. So what have you heard any kind of negatory aspects of that, or is it just school of thought, maybe?
Again, you got to remember something. You're in the health food industry, and the health food industry is one of the most asinine industries you can think of. Okay, I got to tell you, I'm in this industry. I've been in it for a long time, and I got to tell you, this is the asinine part of it. You got some jackass who'll come along and say, I've got natural vitamin C. It's better than the ascorbic acid. And they'll give you all the reasons why it's better. And it sounds really good. Oh, it's natural. Oh, it's good. But it's a lot of horse manure. Okay, because first and foremost, ascorbic acid has had 70 years of research. You cannot refute that. They have used it to treat polio. They have used it to treat brain cancers. They've used it to treat H1N1 and cured it. So it has a legitimate claim for health. And the guys that did this research did this way back before 1980. So I find it far more credible than the crap they're coming out with today. Now, the natural vitamin C, they'll tell you because it's in its natural state, you'll absorb more of it. Horse manure. Okay? And it doesn't have any credible research that it's cured anything. The only thing it's cured is major wallet lighter. Now, let's get to Lugo's iodine. Lugo's iodine has had over 50 monographs done by the French. And the French are not stupid people by no stretch of the imagination. They were treating paralysis with Lugo's iodine. They are using 300 to 1,800 milligrams of Lugo's iodine. And they were treating syphilis and syphilis of the bone. guess what? They're still doing that today. What are they using? Lugol's iodine.
So how do you get, so now you can get, how to get that on your website, or is that something you can find anywhere in the country?
Lugol's iodine, what they're selling now in the United States is a 2% solution. Okay, what we carry here is a 5%. What used to be was a 5%. Now, again, I put it out there so you can make your own 5% solution. That's what seems to be the theme. According to the French studies, that's what you have to use. Now, again, all this nonsense about this type, there's the iodoroiodine, which is basically in a solid form. It's the same thing as Lugol's. It's a good one. You have a nascent iodine, again, which is supposed to be electrically charged. It's supposed to be a good one. Somebody else came up with... Basically what it was a super saturated iodine. Basically what it is just straight potassium iodide. Again, iodine, the Lugol's iodine works better because it's working on the endocrine system and on the digestive system. So you need one part of the iodine to go to the endocrine system, which regulates the estradiol, terestriol, and then you got the other one that regulates the pancreas and the digestive system to keep you from getting cancer. So when these guys start talking again, their horse manure about, oh, it's a dangerous thing. Breeding is dangerous today, you know. So again, take that with a grain of salt. See, I like certain products better than others. I like specific nootropics over other things. I don't think fish oil is worth the fiddler's fart. I think it's a garbage product. Nobody should be using it. Now, if you want to go and buy it, knock yourself out. Now, if you want to get DHA, so well, how am I going to get my DHA? Go get it from a microalgae source or get it from Thyme.
Hmm.
You hear Dr. Coca-Cola get on the air sometimes, and he starts talking about this antioxidant called azantinin, and he wants you to spend all kinds of money on this azantinin because it's got this red thing, and it's 50 times more effective than vitamin C and vitamin E. They said the same thing about grapeseed 20 years ago, all right, to sell you a product. Now, if you want that antioxidant that Dr. Coca-Cola talks about, go buy paprika. Has the same thing.
Okay. Now, what about kudzu? Are you familiar with this one?
Yeah, kudzu is an old vine. It grows like crazy down in the southeast. They can't contain it. Basically, they used to use it for alcohol issues. The drawback with kudzu is it's highly estrogenic. So you got to be careful when you use it. And I believe they do use it as well for nausea as well.
So did it address liver issues?
You know what? I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't use it. I mean, usually if these things have high levels of estrogen, I don't use red clover anymore either. The way I see it today, and again, this is my perspective and the way I do things. Others will do it their way, and again, they're welcome to do it any way they like. Again, I'm not going to refute anybody one way or the other on this. If you're getting results and if it's working, then that's what you use. I don't use a lot of the estrogenic properties primarily because we are so overloaded with xenoestrogens, which are synthetic estrogens, that the phytoestrogens will actually bind with some of these xenoestrogens and they exasperate or increase the lethality or the danger of the endocrine system being overloaded with estrogen and becoming cancerous. So I don't advocate using that. Now, if I knew for a fact that red clover had a higher concentration of estriol and it was an estriol-type estrogen, I would use it. If I knew kudzu or licorice root had a high level of estriol, estrogens in them, then I would use it. But I don't know. And for instance, red clover has 5 different estrogens. And again, I'm not sure what the ratios are. The same with kudzu and licorice root. Licorice root can actually elevate your blood pressure. So it's not, again, it's not something I give a lot of people. Sometimes the blood pressure has to go up for certain things to get carried into the system. And that's why the Chinese use it. But again, most North Americans, Canadians, and Americans are got blood pressure levels up so high that I don't use it for that reason.
So what do you use for blood pressure?
Oh, onion and potassium, avocado, pistachios, brings it right down. The simplest and quickest way to get your blood pressure down, honestly, is potassium. And you're going to get all kinds of things about potassium can cause kidney issues and blah, blah, blah. And the other thing you're going to use, believe it or not, is salt. Sea salt. The reason why blood pressures are off the chart is because it's not because you're getting too much salt. It's probably because you're not getting enough. Salt is a stabilizer, and you're not going to hear this in the mainstream anything. What they're doing by taking away your salt is they're further exacerbating bone deficiencies because, again, your body now has got one less thing in the system to alkalize or maintain an acid-alkaline neutral part in the system. So, again, when you're combining potassium and sodium, if you've got two parts potassium, one part sodium, guess what? You have a balanced blood pressure. Now, if you've got a lot of crap in your colon, your blood pressure is going to be up no matter what you do because you've got a toxic waste field inside. And once you reduce those toxins in the colon, guess what? The pressure goes down.
So what do you suggest for detoxing?
The simplest and cheapest detox money can buy, and you can buy at any grocery store, health food store if you want to go there, if you feel the need, it or orgasmically organic is the way to go. You go get two apples, peel them, one beet, peel it, mush it up in a blender, and consume it.
Apples.
You will find that it'll be one of the best cleanses you'll ever use.
I have heard that beet is good for a lot of things, but do you? Is this something that's being messed with GMO-wise, or is this just the sugar beet?
I don't know. I just heard a couple of weeks ago that they wanted to genetically modify the beet. So, again, I would tell you to start growing. That one will grow indoors, I'm pretty sure. The reason why I'm telling you is the beet, because what it does is, A, it purifies your blood, and, B, it increases hydrochloric acid production. So what winds up happening is when you're consuming, or you've got anything in the colon or in the stomach, and if it's not being broken down, it can help clear that up. Secondly, the apple has high levels of pectin and quercetin. So when it goes into your colon, what it's doing now is lubricating the colon by either, A, bringing fluid to the colon so your colon can move and move like it should, or, B, it's absorbing the extra moisture that might be there as a result if you have diarrhea. Now, again, if you're going to do these kind of cleanses and colon kits, then no bread, no grain, no pasta, no rice, no corn, no high glycemic sugar-producing fruits, because when you consume this stuff, you're reloading the colon with mucus, with fibrous material, with dense material again. So you defeat the purpose. Lay off of that stuff. If everybody literally fasted, which is not something you hear anymore in the health food industry because we're too busy selling you crap that you're going to make you crap that sticks in your colon. We got crap remover that's going to stick to your system like crap. That's what we call a colon cleanse today. If you started fasting, water fast, juice fast, fruit fast, salad fast, or just not eating or drinking anything, even for one day a month, that would allow your internal organs to rest. And that would also probably give a lot of you headaches, shakes, chills, because what's happening there is your body's feeding on the excess poisons that have been accumulated, and your sugar levels will start waning and wavering. But what winds up happening after a 24-hour time frame, you find that your stomach has shrunk. You find all of a sudden you don't have a blood pressure issue like you did. All of a sudden you're finding you got a little bit more energy just by doing a simple fast. If you do it for 3 days, the second day is a bugger. I got to tell you, I've done it myself. The first day isn't so bad. The second day, you will kill somebody if they even breathe your way. The third day, though, by the time the third day comes, you have an energy spike like you will not believe. Because now your organs have completely cleaned out and passed the poisons and the toxins, and now your organs are sort of refreshing themselves, new blood, new vitality, and you're strong. And that can, now I've had people who've done this for like 7 days, and they say the third and fourth and part of the fifth day, they feel like they're Superman. They got a red S, leap tall buildings, bullets bounce off the chest, the whole nine yards. But by day 6 and 7, they feel it again. So I don't advocate doing a 7-day fast until you've done a 1-day fast. And once you do that, then go to 2 days, and then after that, 3 days. And if you want to do it once a month, once every other month, you'll find it'll be a better cleanse than if you buy some of these kits. Now, again, you can do a water fast where you're drinking water all day. You can do a juice fast where you're just nothing but juices all day. A salad fast where it's called a Daniel fast where you're just eating salads and vegetables all day long. The idea is to flush out and allow the system to rest. If you don't eat or drink anything, or just sip on water as needed, you'll find that everything rests and rests more effectively.
So have you worked with amino acids?
Have I worked with amino acids? Definitely. There isn't a male on the planet that hasn't worked with some kind of an amino acid. You got to remember, I used to play sports, so I was into the studying proteins and aminos and what they would do. I was looking at the branch chain. I was looking at arginine. I was looking at glutamine. I was looking at all of them, you know. And then you got citrulline and creatine and all these things. And I will tell you, if they're combined properly, the effect of these things are phenomenal. And I'm not just talking for athletics. I'm talking for healing.
Like, and how would one get them?
Let's go with creatine, okay? Everyone knows about creatine, right? We take creatine, and you're going to be super strong, and you're going to lift 5 bazillion pounds over your head, and you'll be able to just, you know, chain planets and drag them all over the universe. This is what the sales pitch on creatine is. Now, let's take a look at what creatine does. Creatine has arginine in it. It has glycine in it. It has methionine. Arginine and glycine produce growth hormone. When you take creatine on a regular basis, it can protect your body from a head injury. So you fall off a bike, it can prevent or offset a concussion. They use it medically as well for people who have long-term surgery where they're bedridden. They will intravenously feed them creatine to keep them from having muscle breakdown. Now, when you use creatine, don't do what they used to do 20 years ago. If you're still using creatine and you're taking 10, 20 grams a day in grape juice, it's not the way to do it. Okay, the thing with creatine was we got to spike the insulin to get the creatine into the body. That's true on a small perspective if you're looking for bodybuilding, but it doesn't really help you a lot in that regard other than creating an ATP environment. If you're going to use creatine 3 to 5 grams, put it in a warm, hot beverage, coffee, tea, or blend it in a juice. In the bodybuilding industry, they'll tell you don't mix it with coffee. That was a lot of baloney. It works even in coffee. The thing is, when you drink it, you got to make sure it's dissolved and make sure you're taking enough salt, magnesium and potassium with it so that
your electrolytes are up.
That's right. Because if you don't, you bleed them right out the door. And if you do 5 grams a day for 3 weeks, you'll have as much creatine stored up in your body as somebody goes through the idiocy of taking 20 grams a day in grape juice. And your absorption ratio will be closer to 80 to 90%. If you are using some kind of a sugar. Now, again, I don't advocate using white sugar, but I will tell you use maple syrup or unpasteurized honey.
What about, you know, you hear good or more bad things about phenylalanine, and that's an amino acid, right? It's an excitable.
It is, and again, the reason why you're hearing such a lot of bad hokey-pokey about it is because of the aspartame, because that's one of the amino acids of aspartame is phenylalanine and aspartic acid. When it's combined with other amino acids in the proper ratios, we're not imbalancing it by adding more of it into the system to create a rat poison, because that's what aspartic acid and phenylalanine does. It creates a neurotoxin for ants, causes us to have problems as well. It is used for a lot of things, and your body does convert it. It converts it from tyrosine. So it is required by the system. It's when we create an imbalance using aspartame or neotame. Now is the other big one, neotame. It's not even being labeled in the food anymore. You're just putting it in there. When you throw it that way, you wind up with a problem. Now, if used on its own, used in conjunction with the specific B vitamins and other antioxidants with it that it's supposed to have, shouldn't be an issue unless you have a condition warranting that. Now, again, if you're using a lot of aspartame, you may have a sensitivity to phenylalanine. So, again, be aware of that.
Well, I've heard it termed as an excitotoxin. So, is it in the combination with the aspartic to make it that, or
that's why?
Okay,
that's why.
All right.
It works with the dopamine levels as well. Again, like I said, it goes from tyrosine to phenylalanine, and again, one of the areas of the brain it does target is that part. It also works with the part of the body with the brain and the stomach. It's part of the neurotransmission where the stomach says it's full and it sends a signal to the brain. Now, it's either that part where it receives the signal and creates the return message saying, hey, we've got enough, all right, no more, and you stop eating. And that's where the soy goes in and shuts that right off by increasing the glutamic acid or the glutamate in the brain, causing the neural synapses to overload. So, again, when you're adding MSG with aspartame, you've got dynamite going on in the head, and this is why some people have epileptic seizures.
I think I was on your program. You talked about glutathione for the radiation.
I use NAC more than glutathione. They do advocate using glutathione. The reason why I don't go that route is because NAC converts directly from acetylcysteine to L-glutathione direct. L-glutathione, when it's consumed, is broken down, reconstituted, and then reconverted back. So it's one less step for the system to have to do. So again, there are products out there right now. There's an MLM line out there that sells a glutathione product. And, you know, their fame to shame is glutathione. And they found some research about how wonderful the benefits of glutathione are. And it is true, but it's an expensive product. And you can go to any health food store and get NAC. Or you can ferment garlic for about 6 months and make your own L-cysteine, which again converts to glutathione. And there's a lot of things that you can consume that go from a food source like garlic that has L-cysteine in it, or two types of cysteine that convert to glutathione. Even onion does that. Chives, leeks, shallots, they all have that ability to do this. Onion has a unique ability because it produces MSM, which produces DMSO. So that's an interesting little vegetable to keep around, and it too lowers blood pressure. So again, it is used. That's what I tell you, have some sulfur-based supplements if you're using, if you're trying to deal with radiation. Garlic is a good thing to have. So is onion. Again, using NAC, MSM, methionine, cysteine, alpha lipoic acid. These are all sulfur-based antioxidants that fight off radiation.
Okay, methionine, what other uses is it used for?
One of the things it does do is it helps detox the liver. The other thing it does do, it can help, again, in regulating the homocysteine levels in the heart. It does convert to, again, it does go through two or three steps to go from methionine to cysteine, NAC, then to glutathione. So it's another one of those supporting mechanisms. It helps you, again, absorb selenium more efficiently. It helps you absorb zinc more efficiently. So, again, it's another amino. When they add it to creatine, glycine, and arginine, it's a liver protectant as well when you put it in that format. So, again, phenylalanine. Now, here's an interesting thing about, let's go back to phenylalanine a little bit, because I just see your message here. When you take DLPA, what that is, the D and the L signify the right and left side of the amino acid. That's how they determine what form of the amino acids we should be using.
So is that like the charge of it?
I'm sorry?
Is that like the charge of the...
yeah, okay. Left and right.
Okay.
So anyway, we're supposed to be using the left. But when you combine the left and the right of D, L, phenylalanine, you've made a painkiller equivalent to morphine.
Hmm.
Now, it takes about a day or two to get in your system, up to 3 days. And it does work. You need about one dose three times a day to get it in your system. So some of you who have suffered surgical procedures, have injuries, chronic pain, you can use this. You can actually use it with other pain medications. It doesn't conflict. And it's non-addictive, which is a beauty. And it, too, helps boost the depression. It's an antidepressant as well.
Okay. And what about ornithine?
Sorry?
Ornithine? Are you familiar?
Ornithine is part of the Krebs cycle, from arginine, ornithine, to citrulline. Now, they use ornithine as a for people who have been burned, severe fire burns, because it helps with the regeneration of the skin tissue. It does release growth hormones. I don't use it a lot. I've never seen the need to really get involved in using it, because sometimes it's more expensive than arginine, and arginine on its own does convert to ornithine anyway. And again, there's about six or seven different amino acids that actually increase growth hormone, and that's one of them. But it's an expensive way to doing it. The way it works in the system is your body produces arginine, ornithine, and citrulline. When your levels of arginine are too high, then what it does, it converts to citrulline. And then citrulline sits in the liver, and when the arginine levels are too low, it converts back to arginine. And then from there, it goes into ornithine to do whatever. Now, arginine is used a lot of times to remove solvents out of the liver, because your liver does accumulate and produce, again, alcohols through the body from the sugars you consume, and it helps break that down and gets rid of it. The alcohols and other things. So that's one of the things it does. It also helps regulate blood pressure. It produces nitric oxide, which kills cancer. It stimulates growth hormone release. Again, it's supposed to help with maintaining muscle growth. It has a lot of things it does. But again, it all depends on how you combine it to get whatever effect you're looking for.
Now, how about carnitine?
Carnitine, there's two types. There's L-carnitine and then there's acetyl-L-carnitine. The acetyl-L-carnitine is used as a nootropic because of the way it allows the brain to utilize its lipids as an energy source. They both, again, regulate the heart. And they both help stimulate the utilization of fat in the system. In some texts, they actually consider it a B vitamin. Others, they consider it an amino acid. It's a combination of lysine and methionine. That's how it's made, with B6 and vitamin C. Again, people use it for all kinds of things. I rarely use it. I have used it in conjunction with arginine to help increase new dendrite growth in the brain. And I've used it with alpha lipoic acid and bitter melon. And I've had people with high sugar bring it right down to below baseline.
And that's what bitter melon's used with, isn't it, for high blood sugar?
It's used for that, but what it's really used for is to regenerate the pancreas. This is something, again, they don't tell you. What milk thistle, sage, and artichoke is to the liver, to regenerate the liver, bitter melon and corella are used for the pancreas. And again, when you give people the bitter melon with acetyl-L-carnitine, alpha-lipoic acid, and sometimes juniper berry, what an amazing effect, I got to tell you. I've had people here in Canada, they measure it in double digits, and in the United States, they measure it in triple digits. So there, everything's about between 105 and 110 is what they consider normal sugar. Here, it's between 6 and 8. I had a guy here who was having around 13. With the pharmaceutical drugs, it was at 13. And when I got him on this regimen, it got him down to 4. Then I've got a guy down in Ohio who had a pancreatic cancer, so I modified his a little differently. I sent him black seed with bitter melon and told him to use the acetyl-carnitine and the alpha lipoic acid. And his sugar was between 130 and 500.
Wow.
It went down to 65 and 55. He said he couldn't believe that his pancreas started working again, and it literally started shaking because of the glycemic shock. Now, he said he was eating sugar, jumped up to about 107, and went back down to 65. I said, that's what it's supposed to do. When you eat anything with sugar, for 2 hours, the insulin will be up and then drops back down to normal.
So, in other words, you're having good results with people that have diabetes?
Oh, all kinds of things. I mean, cancer, diabetes. I mean, you know what? Honestly, the medical field could treat everybody today in North America, and not one person would have diabetes, not one person would have cancer, not one person would have anything. The trouble is, people have gotten used to some of their vices. They won't let go of bread. They won't let go of all the junk foods. They won't let go of all those chemicals. And that's the problem. 90% of these illnesses, they're what they call diseases, not disease, diseases. And the moment you eliminate these carcinogens and these poisons and these microwaves that you're using to feed yourself, your body, given enough time and the right nutrients, will come back to life. You can bring the dead back. Seriously. And, you know, I mean, I've been doing this for about 35 years, and I've been helping people probably for about 25 of those years. And I got to tell you, I have seen things that we would consider miraculous, but what I consider normal. And I'm not the only one seeing this, so don't think I'm something special, because I'm not. Other people are involved in what I'm doing in different parts of the planet, different parts of the continent, are seeing the same thing. The moment you eliminate the poison, you put back into the body the foundation it needs to restore itself, it comes back. And the medical field can do this without the drugs, without the damn vaccinations. And if we again get back into the rudimentary levels of feeding our soil what it needs to produce a healthy crop and getting good, healthy seeds without genetically engineering anything or just adding three things to the soil and thinking that's all we're going to need, you'd be surprised how so many of you would lose your body mass overnight. How some of you would start seeing restoration of your vision, restoration of your physique, energy levels, organs. You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed.
Do you recall that particular film where the person was growing the food there in Alaska? Is that something they can find on YouTube?
It's called Bricks Gardening, B-R-I-X, I believe.
Okay.
And again, it's amazing. Anybody can do this. Even if you're living in an apartment building and you've got no room, start getting some pots, vases, whatever. Get an old box crate where you buy grapes for making wine or whatever. And line it up, put your dirt in there. And make this. You'd be amazed what you'll get. I got wormwood growing in the house right now. I've got pineapple. I've got avocados. I've avocado trees started. They're about 2 feet high. I've got.
And you're in Canada? Okay.
Sorry?
And you're in Canada?
I'm in Windsor. I'm further south than you are. If you were to draw a line from where Windsor, Ontario is, right across the United States, I'd be right where Northern California is. So I'm further south than you are. You're actually more north than I am.
No, actually, I'm a little further south. Than
are you?
Yeah.
Where are you at again?
In the central part of Colorado. So.
Okay. If you drew a line, I'd be right where Northern California would be.
Okay.
So, but even if I was in Calgary, Alberta, where it's only God's country there because it's so bloody cold, you could grow stuff there. You can grow stuff. The guy's growing it in Alaska. You can grow it in Calgary. You can grow it in you know, Maine. You can grow it in Moncton. You can grow it in Texas. You can grow it in Arizona. You know, you can grow it in Manitoba. You can grow it anywhere. You can do it anywhere.
Well, Tony, I want to thank you for staying up late and hanging in there and giving us a lot of your expertise on these various foods and I don't know what you call amino acids and all the like. So I really
the whole shoot match. What do you call it? No worries anytime, eh?
All right, and thank you very much, and we'll do this again. Thanks
a lot. Anytime. Just give me a shout if you have anything. If your listening audience is looking for answers or they got some questions about certain health issues, or you want to do it that way, we can do it that way too.
Yeah, I'll give you your web address again, and you're on. Gosh, my mind just went blank on it.
No worries, radio. The micro effect. No worries. I know it's late. I understand. I'm the same way. Okay, I do a show every Monday and Friday. If you want to tune in, by all means, do so. We have a chat room there as well. So if you have any questions, you can ask on the chat room on health issues. I deal with them live. www.themicroeffect.com, Mondays and Fridays at 8 o'clock Eastern. I also have a webpage, http://augmentinforce.50webs.com, 50webs. Make sure it's a 50, not spelling it. And I also have some YouTubes on there called www.youtube.com. And then in the search box, type in herbs plus beadworks, one word. Okay, and feel free to go on the webpage and download anything and everything that you may want to download. There's a cancer link for those of you who may be dealing with cancer. There's an antiviral link for those of you who are dealing with viruses. Whatever's there, feel free to access.
Again, I want to thank you, Tony, and have a good evening.
Yeah, listen, you too, eh? Take care.
Okay. All right. Goodbye.